But failing to wait, notice what happens with Jesus here, failing to wait and rely on the perfect provision of God, this is when we get into trouble. Some of us right now, we are so caught up in our own ambition, which leads to impatience. We are then forced to force our will to force out God.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Live in the Light. My name's Craig, and I get to be the host of this program, and joining me in our studio is our teacher, Pastor Robbie Simons. Hey, if you have listened to us for any length of time, you know that God's Word is central to this program. We consider it to be the highest authority for our lives, and we believe it speaks into every single aspect of our lives. And today's message is really going to underscore this love for the Word of God. Now, Robbie is here with me in studio. And Robbie, we're in the middle of our new series, No Turning Back, and we're really off to a great start, right?
I hope so. I hope the people are encouraged again. This is called No Turning Back, 10 Essential Life Lessons from Jesus for the Last Days, right? Again, this series could be much longer than 10, but we've chosen 10 passages right from the words of Jesus on what it will take and who he is asking us to be that we might finish well in these perilous times and crazy times that we live in. So just to recap very briefly, that lesson number one is that character will be the determining factor, again, for those of us seeking to live with strength in the last days. Character is everything, and Jesus calls us to have character as our foundation. Lesson number two today is this: man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. There's no way, loved ones, we will make it apart from the word of God. Again, this is the very essence of this entire ministry, and of course, the church itself, the authoritative, final authority of God's word and the very thing that is sufficient for our lives. So I'm excited for this passage today in Jesus' teaching, and just to understand, if we are going to make it, if we are not going to turn back, we must build our lives on the very word of God. So enough said about that. Let's get now, Craig, to the word. And I pray you are encouraged today in the spirit of God by the word of God.
Amen to that. And let's dive right in, as Robbie said, to God's word today. We are in Matthew chapter 4. And the title of today's message, Man Shall Not Live by Bread Alone. Here again is Pastor Robbie.
Here we are in the second week of our series. Very, very thankful for our youth worship team this morning. That was precious, so good, so encouraging. Bless you all. So encouraged by that video, Adoniram Judson, the encouragement that is. And that's a great lead into our second, again, message in our series, No Turning Back. 10 Essential Life Lessons from Jesus for the Last Days. Are we going to be those who finish well? Are we going to be those who falter? This is what we're finding out. This is what we're asking the Holy Spirit to speak to us directly about. Many will falter as they follow after the world, but those who follow after the word of Jesus Christ, they will finish. Our thesis today is this: if I am to thrive, I must feed on the word of God, no exceptions. If I am to thrive, if I'm to finish well, I must feed on the word of God. There are no exceptions to that spiritual rule and principle. Put that in the negative, we say it this way: a failure to feed on the word of God will inevitably result in failure. No exceptions. A failure to feed on the word of God will inevitably result in failure. God has provided for us a meal plan of supernatural nourishment. A meal plan of supernatural nourishment that leads to eternal satisfaction. This then must be our diet. This then must be our nourishment. This must be our nutrition if we are going to persevere. Now, always remember, church, remember, loved ones, it's the word of God that points us ultimately to the bread of life. And when we feed on the bread of life, we have that which satisfies us for all of eternity. But it's the word of God that renews our minds to the reality and the significance and the glory of the bread of life found only in Jesus Christ. God has provided us a meal plan and a diet to feast on for everlasting sufficiency and glory. However, our world does not do such things. I want to show you a sample of all the diets of our day, and this is just a sample. We can roll that slide now if you're able to. Here are the diets, just a sample of the diets of our day. Look at that. Oh, I'm overwhelmed just looking at that slide. Just keep that up for a second. Maybe some of you have tried one or several of these diets. This is the attempt of our world right there, and I want you to notice every one of these diets, everyone is representative of a total commitment for eating towards temporal health. All of these will require sacrifice, discipline, and tremendous self-control for the goal of greater physical health. Now, as we put those diets up, just think of the money, think of the effort, think of the obsession at times in relating to a pursuit of a physical healthy diet. Now, I wanna be clear, okay? I'm all for healthy eating for the most part, all right? I'm all for healthy eating again, mostly, all right? But here's the wisdom of the day. Here's the essential lesson for the last days. It's this: only one diet leads to everlasting life. Only one diet ultimately leads to life, again, defeating death and living with God forever in heaven with Jesus Christ as our Savior. I'll say it again, there's only one diet that contains the nourishment for eternal life. And our menu selection today is going to be from Matthew chapter 4. Please open your Bibles there right now. Matthew chapter 4, we'll start with one verse today, but we're going to a buffet of sorts where we will sample several foods from God. I hope you've come hungry. Matthew chapter 4. Let me read from verse 1, and we'll end at verse 4 here. It says this, here's our context. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry, I bet. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, it is written, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Let's jump into our outline today. Here's our first point for this today from this morning. It's this. Number one, please understand you will not survive by bread alone. Please hear, please understand, please believe. You cannot and will not survive by bread alone. Jesus is in the wilderness. We just read that. Jesus is hungry, to say the least, fasting 40 days and 40 nights. Satan approaches Jesus in his, again, in his weakness of hunger to tempt him. Satan tempts Jesus in his hunger and says, hey, command these stones to become loaves of bread. Jesus answers him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Loved ones, we learn this right away. Listen, there is more to this life than bread. There is more to this life than physical bread. Yes, it is necessary, but man shall not live by bread alone. Warren Wiersbe said this on the screen for you. He said, when we put our physical needs ahead of our spiritual needs, we sin. When we put our physical needs ahead of our spiritual needs, we sin. This was the temptation of Satan towards Jesus. Live for the physical and thereby deny the spiritual. Jesus responds, man shall not live by bread alone. The verse that Jesus quotes there in Matthew 4:4 is from Deuteronomy 8. The context of Deuteronomy 8 is quite powerful. I'm going to read from Deuteronomy 8:2-3. I invite you to turn there with me, all right? Let's turn to Deuteronomy 8, where you are in your homes. Again, let's turn in God's word. Listen, how many times do you get up from the couch and go to the fridge because you're hungry? Let's take a couple of seconds and turn in God's word, all right? Deuteronomy 8:2. This is the verse again that Jesus quotes. We'll get there in verse 3. It says this. This has been so powerful again to me. It's meant so much for many years. Deuteronomy 8:2. Hope you're there. All right. Let's feed on God's word. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Now look at verse 3, this is key. And he humbled you, Israelites, and let you hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know. I love the way the English this reads, that he might make you know what? This, that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Here we have Moses preparing the Israelites to enter the promised land after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Initially, Moses reminds the people of God of God's intimate and detailed care for them in the past. That's so important for us to understand. He's like, God has cared for you. God provided for you. You were not in need. God's detailed love and provision of care was there every single day, week, month, and year. For 40 years, God alone provided all their food. And if you notice in Deuteronomy 8:4, take a look. It says, your clothing did not wear out and your feet did not swell these 40 years. Amazing. Deuteronomy 8:3 has always meant so much to me. Notice this. Notice how God purposely humbled his people. But how did he do this? He humbled them by allowing them to hunger. That's fascinating to me. God, in his sovereign will and pleasure and wisdom, orchestrated events where he would allow his people to hunger. Why would God allow his people to hunger? So he would increase and draw out their dependence. What a principle that is for the Christian life, isn't it? Can you think in areas in your life, I don't know, let's say in the last 14 months or so, where God has allowed you to hunger, where God has taken away certain things, where the ultimate purpose is to draw out, again, our dependence and reliance and love for God and what only he can provide? How did God let them hunger? The text says he fed them with manna. He fed them with a food never before seen. Think about that. No one's ever seen this food before. Created by God, sent from God, down to earth, again, manna from heaven. A food then that could only be provided by the very mouth and command of God. Think about that. Now, why manna? Look at verse 3. That he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So the lesson of the manna was extraordinary because the manna that God gave each day only lasted for that day. Some of the Israelites tried to gather more manna to store it up for future days. But what happened is the Bible tells us that the manna started to stink and grew worms. People could not provide for themselves in their own way and effort. The manna was designed by the Lord to create a daily dependence on God and God alone. Think about that. The design of God saying, you must depend on me on a daily basis for what only I can provide and what only I can give. You cannot find this anywhere else. The manna was designed by the Lord again in the perfect wisdom of God. And his people would rely, listen, on every word that came from the mouth of God, because only when God spoke would the manna be provided. The Israelites were sustained all those, again, weeks, months, years. They were sustained as God spoke to provide for them. So I'm going to pause here for a second because there's so many awesome principles and application and depth of truth that I pray the Holy Spirit's beginning to bring to your heart and mind even now. One of them being, oh, how the Lord loves and blesses dependence. The Lord loves to bless dependence on him. The Lord blesses his word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. One of the massive lessons for the Israelites right here in their future prosperity as they enter the land that was promised. Don't ever forget, people of God, don't ever forget Jehovah Jireh. Don't ever forget the Lord God who provides. Staying in Deuteronomy 8, flip a page over maybe, at least in my Bible, and look at verse 11. Deuteronomy 8, verse 11. Notice what God says again through Moses to the people. Deuteronomy 8, 11. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command to you today. Now notice verse 12. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them. This is so important. And when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, notice, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness. And now look down Deuteronomy 8, verse 17. You better have God's word open right now. You gotta feed on the word of God, every mouth that comes from the word of God. Verse 17, beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get every single penny you own, that he may confirm his covenant he swore to his fathers as it is this day. Verse 19, and if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Wow. The warning to the Israelites, the warning to us today, the danger of our prosperity. The danger of our prosperity is we begin to drown in self-indulgence, self-reliance, and self-congratulations. My power and my might has gotten me this wealth. How wrong you are, how foolish we can be. We must not live by bread alone. And listen, understand this, the people who live by bread alone will die. To live by bread alone, physical bread alone, all those people are going to die. Because ultimately, we live by the very words of God pointing to the bread of life, who is Jesus Christ. Do not live for bread alone. You will not make it in the last days. Do not live for bread alone. Again, this is going to be a massive dividing line in the future between those who finish and those who falter. Loved ones, we must recognize so often the plague of prosperity. How prosperity has plagued so many hearts over the years and will continue to do so in the future. Just so we understand the weight of what God's word puts behind this, look at this verse from James chapter 5 again. Just the sober-mindedness it brings. James says, come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Weep and howl are the words that are used. Look at this. Your riches have rotted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you. Wow. and will eat your flesh like fire. Remember, this is James, New Testament, chapter 5. And notice this last sentence here says it all. You have laid up treasure in the last days. All those people seeking to lay up treasure, to live by bread alone, they will not live. The corrosion of the treasures on earth we have stored up is evidence against us. Let me ask you this question. In the last several months, what have you been thinking about the most? What most occupies your mind, your thoughts, which leads to your heart? Have your thoughts been occupied about bread issues and personal needs, bread issues of the earth? Or has it been about the bread of life? The bread of life, Jesus Christ, the only one who can ultimately satisfy. Man shall not live by bread alone. We cannot live by bread alone. We will not make it. We will not last. We will not see strength. We will not know the Lord's blessing. We will not have his favor. The Holy Spirit does not bless bread alone. The Holy Spirit blesses every mouth, every word that comes from the mouth of God. God, make us men, women, and children right now who are utterly convinced that we cannot live by bread alone. Please, Lord. Leads us to point number 2. Let's be convinced of this. You must live by and feed on then the word of God. In order to finish well, we must live by and feed on the word of God, no exceptions. We return now to Matthew 4, and we return to Jesus in Matthew 4, and here is Satan tempting Jesus to rely on his own self-provision. Again, Satan says, turn these stones into loaves of bread. Now, in the full humanity of Jesus here, Satan seeks to have Jesus, listen carefully, Satan wants Jesus to move away from his dependence on the Father. And isn't that fascinating? Satan is desperately seeking for Jesus to move away from the Father's will and provision. And how many lives have been lured away and destroyed by the same temptation over all these years? But failing to wait, notice what happens with Jesus here, failing to wait and rely on the perfect provision of God, this is when we get into trouble. Some of us right now, we are so caught up in our own ambition, which leads to impatience, we are then forced to force our will to force out God. Be very, very careful. A massive characteristic of following Jesus Christ is the patience and faith on waiting on the timing and the will of God, but ambition and impatience so often causes people to force their will in order to force out God from their life. That's devastating. This is what Satan was trying to do with Jesus. But Jesus here then shuts the door on Satan. Notice what Jesus does. He uses God's word to exalt God's word. I love that. He uses the very command again from the mouth of God to exalt the words that come from the mouth of God. Jesus declares, it is written. In other words, you liar, Satan. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. You see, this is why the Lord allows difficulty in our lives ultimately to decrease or to increase our dependence on him. God lets us hunger that our dependence and reliance increases upon the God of glory. And right there, Jesus declares, Satan, there's so much more to life than physical bread. Jesus says to Satan here, I will not trust in bread. I will trust in my Father. I will not find satisfaction from the physical. I will find ultimate satisfaction in every word that comes from the mouth of God. Oh, how the Lord has allowed us to hunger in so many ways over the past several months, hasn't he? Here's the question, is it working? Is it working? Are we learning the life-changing lesson that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God? You take Matthew chapter 4, you take Deuteronomy chapter 8, and consider some of the massive verses that tie in so beautifully to the content that we're learning right now. Consider these life-giving passages on this life-changing theme. Verse number 1 is this, on the screen for you. John 4, verse 34. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me to accomplish his work." Now notice this. Notice the food of Christ is to do the will of God. So our greatest food then, our greatest food is God's will. And the single greatest place that we know God's will, of course, is in God's word. Every word that comes from the mouth of God. One of the church fathers, Jerome, he said this, and this is why God's word is so critical. He said this, "Ignorance of scripture is ignorance of Christ." Look at that. Think on that. Sit on that. Ignorance of scripture is ignorance of Christ. My food is to do the will of him who sent me. And the will of God is found in the word of God. This must be our food also. John 6, 27 on the screen for you. Jesus said this, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." John 6 here, the context is the people were seeking after Jesus because he just fed the 5,000. They saw the miracle of the physical bread. They wanted more physical bread. Jesus calls them on it. He says, enough. He says, stop spending your life on that which perishes. Stop laboring for physical food or bread alone. Rather, labor or work for the eternal rewards, the eternal food, the food that does not perish. Who's that for today? Stop spending your entire life in gathering up that which cannot last. Do not work for the food that perishes. Work, labor, serve the Lord, love God for the food that endures to eternal life. Just take a moment, examine your heart right now. Just take a moment. How are we doing with that? So many people spending all their time, energy, passion, obsession with food that perishes. Think in the end, how stupid that is. Think in the end, how foolish that is. It won't be long before you're facing death and all those things, they matter not. They matter not. By the words and the wisdom of Jesus is so wonderful. For some of us, food that perishes is all of us, meaning our whole work is on that which perishes. Church, loved ones, listen. Enough with the bigger barns. Enough with the fast cars. Enough with the stock market obsession. Enough with the gourmet luxury. Rather, instead, labor for the food that endures to eternal life. Listen, disciple someone. Care for the poor. Pour into missions, give to the kingdom, pray with passion, love your neighbor, bless the body of Christ, serve the Lord, store up treasures in heaven while you still can. For so many, the Lord will say, your riches have rotted, your gold and silver have corroded, and they are evidence against you. Please, Lord, not us. Not us laboring for the food that endures to eternal life.
At Live in the Light, we believe that through the faithful and the passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. If you'd like to hear this message again or the rest of the messages from this series, you can find these resources and more on our website at liveinthelight.ca. That's all for today, listeners. Join us again next time here on Live in the Light. Oh, yeah.